Thank you, Your Eminence. Thank you for the honor of giving me to speak today. And what His Eminence asked me to do is to speak to you about the Gregories. And these are the remarkable Gregories of Christianity. And the name Gregorios is a uniquely Christian name. And it comes from the word egregorsis, which means to be quick and to be alert. And it comes from what the Lord said to the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane, Grigorite και προσεύχεστε, be watchful and pray. And He came back three times and warned them about that. And so He's still warning us through the name Gregorios to always be vigilant and pray. And in this apse in the back, we have six Gregorios. And of course in the center, and Metropolitan Alexios was trying to tell you at the center, we don't have the Platidera, but we have... In the center, we don't have the Platidera, but we have the symbol of the Holy Spirit seated on a throne, which is what the synods, the ecumenical synods throughout the centuries have used when they gather together to deliberate about the faith. And even the Great Synod of Crete last summer used the same symbol and an icon that was placed in the center of the gathering of the bishops who were to discuss things of the faith. And around it are these great theologians, some of them who participated in the great synods. And I'm going to start with the earliest one. And he's actually the one on the right side, on the edge, on this side. And later, when you have a chance, you can come and look at them. And he's Grigorios Thaumaturgos, Bishop of New Caesarea. And he lived in the 3rd century, from 213 to 270. His original name was Theodoros. But because Theodoros was also used by the pagans at the time, he took the name Gregorios when he became a Christian. He was born into a pagan family in Neo Caesarea of Pontus in Asia Minor. He received a fine education in ancient Greek philosophy, in the Hellenic learning. But his inquisitive mind and thirst for the truth led him to Alexandria, Egypt, where he attached himself to Origen, a brilliant priest and great teacher of Christianity. Origen's brilliance, but also his persuasive teaching method, along with his genuine faith in Christ, eventually convinced Theodoros to be baptized and join the Christian faith, receiving the name Gregorios. We know a lot about Gregorios from the accounts of later saints, including St. Gregory of Nyssa, who is also here, and Basil the Great, his brother. After returning to his homeland, he spent a number of years in ascetic life in the wilderness until he was chosen to become the Bishop of New Caesarea. By this time, God had granted him many spiritual gifts, including clairvoyance, prophecy, and the ability to cast out demons. The ascetic life and eloquence of St. Gregory aroused envy among the pagans, who sent a notorious harlot, listen to this story, to him, as he was conversing in public, to embarrass him. She demanded payment, supposedly, for the sin that he had supposedly committed with her. At first, St. Gregory gently said to her that she perhaps mistook him for someone else. But the woman would not be quiet. So he then asked a friend to give her the money that she was asking for. And as soon as the woman took the unjust payment, she immediately fell to the ground in a demonic fit. And the fraud became evident, and St. Gregory offered a prayer over her. The demons left her, and she was healed. St. Gregory, this was the beginning of St. Gregory the Thaumaturgos, the miracle worker, the miracles, the beginning of the miracles that he has done. St. Gregory of Nyssa describes him, a most important event in the life of St. Gregory. Something that we heard of more contemporary saints. After fervent prayer to God about the doctrinal life, about the doctrinal controversy, rather, of Sabellius and Paul of Samosata at the time, St. Gregory Thaumaturgos had a vision of the Theodogos, accompanied by St. John the Theologian. And those of you who read the life of St. Paisios know that that happened to St. Paisios as well. The Theodogos commanded St. John to confess to Gregory the mystery of the Holy Trinity. St. Gregory wrote down everything that St. John said to him, confirming the divinity of Christ in his personhood. This revelation of St. Gregory had an effect on the subsequent formation of the Creed of Faith, as we say it every Sunday, as developed by the First and Second Ecumenical Councils. By his saintly life, his effective preaching, the working of miracles, and the loving guiding of his flock, the saint steadily increased the number of converts to Christ in his district. When he first became bishop, there were only 17 Christians in Neo-Caesarea, in the city. At his death, only 17 pagans were left in the city. Then I'll go to St. Gregory Nazianzus, or the theologian, actually, who is the second on the right of the Holy Spirit. He was born in Arianzus in Cappadocia in 325, a century later. His father was also called Gregory, and he is known as Gregory Nazianzus. And the whole family had been declared saints by the church. This whole family of Gregory the theologian. Both parents, along with their son Caesarius and Gregory the theologian, as well as their daughter Gorgonia, are saints of the church. Young Gregory was immersed early in the study of philosophy and rhetoric. Again, Hellenic learning, very important in the shaping of the minds and the shaping of the lives of these saints. And finally, he went to Athens to study at the University of Athens, where he met Basil of Caesarea, St. Basil the Great, and they became friends, and they remained friends for the rest of their lives. After their studies in Athens, they both went to Pontus, where they lived an ascetic life, the monastic life. Eventually, Gregory's father, Gregory, invited him back to Arianzus, to Nazianzus, actually, where he ordained him a presbyter. And then later, he was ordained a bishop by St. Basil, who was the metropolitan of that area. About the year 379, which is 2 years before the Great Ecumenical Council, the Second Great Ecumenical Council, St. Gregory came to the assistance of the Church of Constantinople as they were fighting the Arians. And he was elected Archbishop of Constantinople, so we know him as Archbishop of Constantinople and theologian. And he presided over the Second Ecumenical Council. He assisted in the debate against Macedonius and the formation of the second part of the Creed, where it talks about the Holy Spirit. When he came to Constantinople, the Arians had taken all the churches, and he had to actually create a church dedicated to Saint Anastasia in somebody's house. But when he left Constantinople, there were no Arian churches in Constantinople. He gave sermons continually teaching the Orthodox faith, and his five sermons on the Holy Spirit are the ones that were used by the Second Ecumenical Council to clarify the faith and establish the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And those are the ones for which he was named theologian. He left us an amazing corpus of writings. He was a poet, and he also wrote poetry, and he had a mastery of the Greek language in the Attic form, which very few people in the history of Hellenism have had. And he left us an enormous corpus of writings which show the depth of his education in the Hellenic letters, but also the shaping of his mind by the Christian faith and by the Holy Scriptures. He is widely considered as the most accomplished rhetorical stylist of the patristic age. St. Gregory made a significant impact on the shape of the Trinitarian theology, both among Greek and Latin theologians, and is remembered as the Trinitarian theologian. And his work continues to influence modern theologians, especially with regard to the Holy Trinity. St. Gregory of Nyssa, from the same period, participated also in the Second Ecumenical Council. He is the one to the left of the Holy Spirit in the apse. He was the brother of St. Gregory, of St. Basil the Great, and he owes his education as well as his faith to his mother and his sister, and that entire family again are saints of the church. Even his grandmother is considered a saint, and his grandfather was a martyr. Gregory's temperament was a quiet and meek man. He was educated by his mother and his sister in the ancient philosophy as well as the scriptures, and he was an erudite theologian who made significant contributions to the doctrine of the Trinity and the Nicene Creed. His greatest contribution, however, was his mystical understanding of the progress of humanity over time as we struggle to come closer to God. Gregory saw life as an unending progress to coming closer to God. The only one thing, he said, truly worthwhile is to become God's friend. Gregory Nyssa was also one of the first Christian voices to point out that slavery as an institution was inherently sinful. He explained that slavery violates humanity's inherent value and the will of God and the nature of humanity which God created to be free. Arguing from Genesis, he pointed out that man was given mastery of animals, but not of other human beings. If modern people, especially in the United States, have read this, the last few centuries, they have not done what they had done. Then I will go to St. Gregory Dialogos, who is the first one on the left. And we have two more after that. This amazing saint is known to us because of the impact he had on the formation of the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts, which we celebrate during Great Lent. But he had a greater impact on the Western Church in the 5th century, when there was a devastation of Christianity through the invasions of the Germanic tribes that came into Europe and destroyed Europe and left it into darkness for 400 years. And his contribution was major in writing his Dialogi, his book, which was a series of dialogues that gave us the life of Saint Benedict and many other things that he has left behind. At some point, he held a position in Constantinople representing the Bishop of Rome, and that's his connection and the recognition that he received from the East after he was consecrated bishop and after he showed his life, his holy life. Then I'm going to go to St. Gregory Palamas, who is the second one from the left. Gregory Palamas, again, he was, as a young man, immersed in Hellenic learning at the court of Constantinople. The emperor wanted him to become one of his officials. And at the age of 15, he gave an amazing oration he was recognized as a great orator. And the depth of his education was seen later when he confronted Barlaam, who was a Western monk who became Orthodox but was immersed in rationalistic thinking and rationalistic theology that he brought from the West. And St. Gregory Palamas, and this is now 13th century, St. Gregory Palamas confronted him and defeated him in his understandings, and through the triads in defense of the holy Hesychasts, the monks on Mount Athos who prayed the Jesus prayer, he was able to protect the faith and defend the monastic life as we know it. In this, he expounded the difference between the uncreated essence and the uncreated energies of God. One is essence, unapproachable, unattainable. The other is the energies of God that comes to us like the warmth of the sun. But they're uncreated. This is God acting in our lives. He explained that. It was a new theology. It was a theology of the fathers of the church from before, based on the scriptures. He just clarified it further and made it very clear to everyone, and his writings stand out as the explanation of who God is and how he acts within us. He became Archbishop of Thessaloniki in 1347, and in 1354, during a voyage to Constantinople, his ship fell into the hands of Turkish pirates. So he was imprisoned and beaten by the Turks, and he was held over a year in detention, but he was brought to the Ottoman court and he was treated well. And during the time, he wrote a series of writings where he tries to explain the difference between Christianity and Islam. And he points out to the fact that Islam is a heresy of Christianity. Eventually, his ransom was paid and he returned to Thessaloniki, where he served as archbishop for the last 3 years of his life. The fifth one, the final one, is the Patriarch of Constantinople, Gregory V, who is the second from the right. And this is the patriarch that was killed by the Turks when the revolution began. In 1821, in response to the Greek Revolution, the bishops were held by the Muslims, by the Turkish court, to be responsible for any time there was a rebellion, and bishops were killed all over the place, and this was the time for the patriarch. And he was killed along with all the other bishops. He was hanged from the door of the church, the entrance, the west door of the church, and that door has been locked and sealed since then and never opened again. After he was hung there for 3 days, and Muslims would come by and mock him, his body was thrown, was given to a group of Jews who dragged it into the streets of Constantinople, and we don't know exactly who these people were, but then after that they threw it into the Bosphorus. A Greek sailor found it, put it in his boat, and brought it to Odessa in southern Russia, where he was buried with honors, and then he was brought back to Greece eventually, and his body is interred in the cathedral in Athens. St. Gregory the Fifth, Patriarch of Constantinople, represents the latter period of the church, the modern times, our times, and embodies in himself and in his holy life the centuries of suffering under Muslim oppression and the ultimate sacrifice which Christians are being called to make in the name of Christ. He stands as a lighthouse for the present and future generations, reminding us that in order to save our lives and live eternally with our Lord, we need to lose our lives in this world and be ready to even make the ultimate sacrifice of martyrdom. St. Gregory the Fifth stands as a vivid reminder of the danger in which the Christians of Constantinople are until today, with the Ecumenical Patriarch at the center. And we pray for them. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father Panagiotis, for